Making sense of the economy, tech, and the issues of the day. That's what Marketplace does best. And we count on you to be part of it. Right now, we're aiming to raise $100,000 by October 1st. And when we do, you can watch our very own Kai Rizdahl drink a pumpkin spice beer. Give today at marketplace.org/givetech. Let's do this.
When it comes to cloud computing, can Oracle make it into the big leagues? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood. Details of the proposed deal for Walmart and Oracle to take a stake in Chinese company TikTok are still unfolding. But what is clear is that part of what's in it for Oracle would be a new customer for its cloud computing business. The company has just under 3% of the global cloud computing market, according to Gartner. Compare that with Amazon Web Services, or AWS, at 45%. The next biggest provider is Microsoft, with an 18% share. Joining me to talk about the cloud competition is Eric Norlin, a venture capitalist with SK Ventures. He says nabbing TikTok is part of a bigger strategy.
I put it in the class of partnership deals that are done to generate a higher profile, more than the class of deals that are actually about generating revenue and business. You know, it's not the deal itself in terms of revenue that is important so much as it is the PR around the deal.
So it raises Oracle's profile.
Yes, yes. I think in Oracle's case specifically, you're dealing at the higher end of the cloud infrastructure market with, you know, kind of the dominant player in AWS, obviously. And then Microsoft doing a really admirable job, I think, with developer communities and what they're doing. And then Google and Oracle kind of slugging it out below that for the higher end deals. So Oracle's really been on the downside of that spectrum in terms of landing high visibility deals. So from that standpoint, they really needed something like this to kind of help them at least gain visibility.
When you're advising startups that you invest in, do you ever suggest that they switch cloud computing providers? I'm wondering if there's a lot of difference between them.
No, I've never actually advised anyone to do that. I don't believe my partner has either. You know, one of the hardest problems with cloud infrastructure is that once you begin to build significantly on it, you really do get locked in, even if there's technically a way for you to move. I think we'll see templated cloud architectures and the ability to move between providers become something that will gain in popularity. And of course, some of the larger businesses are insisting on going, quote, multi-cloud from the beginning so that their infrastructure isn't solely dependent on one provider.
Right. We saw that during the pandemic, right? The companies realizing they need to diversify.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you bring up the pandemic. I was just mentioning the other day, the kind of the great untold story of the pandemic is actually the work that Adrian Cockcroft did 10 years ago. Adrian was the architect in charge of Netflix's original streaming service. So he did a lot of work around what's called chaos engineering and dynamic resource scaling about a decade ago, and really kind of revolutionized how it was people approached architecting cloud services. And I'm pretty convinced that without the work Adrian did 10 years ago, that we wouldn't be scaling things like Zoom today.
Well, in terms of how Amazon got, or AWS got so dominant, are there services that they provide that are better? I mean, part of their footprint, does that help startups that are associated with them?
I think it's a matter of the size of the ecosystem that they've built, not necessarily better or worse. So depending upon what you're trying to accomplish, you can accomplish the exact same thing with alternative cloud providers, the smaller ones, the mid-sized ones, other big name ones. But the advantage at this point that Amazon's bringing is they bring this whole ecosystem of startups and other companies building on top of what they're offering. And then they're rolling out so much in new features, new services, new offerings every year. It's volume, and then I think the weight of the ecosystem that they bring, where they really start to distinguish themselves in offerings. But I don't think there's necessarily a difference in quality. You can certainly accomplish everything on other platforms that you can accomplish there, or through, you know, stringing together platforms and other services.
What do you think it would take to see a more level playing field in this market with, you know, two companies really dominating, everybody else in the single digits? Do you see changes that could expand that field?
It's kind of fashionable, I think, in certain tech circles these days to whisper nefarious things about antitrust and AWS. And I actually don't think that's how the change comes about here. We will reach a point of saturation with cloud, and then we'll have some sort of, you know, boom-bust cycle that leads us through the desert. And on the other side of that desert is an offering that everyone laughs at first that changes the world and alters the cloud landscape. But I think that over time, the predominance of AWS has to come down because that's what always happens.
In other words, no one can win forever. That was Eric Norlin, a venture capitalist with the firm SK Ventures. And now for some related links. The Wall Street Journal had a story last week on Microsoft's strategy to woo more customers to its cloud services by promising those companies more customers of their own. For example, Microsoft clinched a deal to provide cloud services to the company Abnormal Security, and in turn will sell Abnormal's services to Microsoft's own big clients. It's a tactic that's been used by Amazon too, and obviously one where it helps to have a relatively big portfolio of companies you're already working with. So not something newcomers to the cloud space can hope to compete with. And speaking of companies diversifying their cloud providers, one of them is Zoom, which originally relied totally on Amazon. But this spring, when the company saw exponential growth in demand, we all know why, Zoom said it wanted more support, so it hired Oracle. Around the time of the announcement, CNBC reported that one of the reasons Zoom chose Oracle instead of, say, Microsoft or Google is that those companies also provide video conference services and were moving more aggressively to compete with Zoom. So it didn't really want to help fund those efforts. You can read both of those stories on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.